Take your Bible, if you will, this morning. That's the first sermon. It was short. The second one's going to be a little longer, okay? Exodus chapter 2, if you would. Exodus chapter 2 this morning. I don't always preach on Mother's Day. I know of a preacher, Curtis Hudson's son, Tony Hudson. I've heard him preach, and I've heard him say on Mother's Day he preaches on hell. I don't know if he's really does that or not, but I wouldn't put it past him. But this morning we'll preach to moms. But I want you that aren't moms, would you listen? Because everything I'm going to say to moms is good for dads. It's good for sons. It's good for daughters. And I hope you'll listen this morning. I don't want you to fold your arms and say, well, I'm out of harm's way today. He ain't preaching to me. I am preaching to you, okay? Exodus 2, verse 1. And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took him for him an ark of bulrushes, and daubed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses. And she said, because I drew him out of the water. One of the mistakes that preachers make is assuming too much. We assume that, well, you know the story. Oh, yeah. But if you don't know the background for what's happening here, you might think, what in the world's wrong with the woman? Mm-hmm. She has a child. What do you mean she hid the child? And after she couldn't hide him, she puts him in a little ark of bulrushes and puts him in the river. What in the world's going on? Well, if you don't know the background, what's going on is this. The woman that bare this child was an Israelite. And she was one of those who were now slaves in Egypt. And the decree had been sent down by Pharaoh that all the male children that were born were to be put to death. Pharaoh looked at it and said, they're growing, there's too many of them, they're growing too strong, and we're going to deal with it. So if they have a male child, we're going to put that son to death. So because of that, this house, this woman married to Levi, married to a man who was a Levite, she took her son, she loved her son, she wasn't willing to kill him, all right? And so that's what's going on, okay? Now, I want to preach to you this morning on the subject of Jochebed, a model for today. You say, well, who's Jochebed? Well, that's the lady here that had the son, okay? You say, well, it doesn't say it here. Well, it says it in other places, all right? Moses' mom was a lady named Jochebed. Now, if you look around today in the public sector, I believe you're going to find very few mothers who could serve as a good example or a model for girls to emulate in our day. They're just not. You say, now I know this, I know this pastor is considered by most folks in this world to be sadly out of date. They look at me and think your ideas and your thoughts ought to be relegated to the dark ages. Just so you know, that's fine with me. Because what I believe based on the Word of God, and I'm not worried about what the unbelieving world says about it. But I'm not preaching to them, I'm preaching to you. I'm preaching to you this morning. And those of you that are sitting here before me, you've got some reason for being here. He said, no, I was made to come. I had to show up. Or maybe you said, I'm here because I'm putting in, I want good points with Mom. You know, I want her to include me in the will. You know, maybe it's that. I don't know. Maybe you gave in to pressure. But I'm sure the last reason you're here is because you're interested in what this old preacher has to say. But I want to speak to you this morning. No matter what your reason is for being here, would you do me a favor? Would you listen on purpose while you're here? Would you just focus in on the message? Hey, listen, if there's anybody appreciative for mothers, it is me. Thank God for those who work at it, being a mom. But I'm especially grateful for godly mothers. Godly mothers. Moses had a godly mother. Now, I don't know if you did or not. I have no idea. Most of the people I know that if I talk to are appreciative of their mom. They're thankful for their mom. But I just want you to know, if you want to do a good job as a mom, you don't seek for models and examples on social media, okay? Don't go there. Don't look for one on TV. Don't look for them in Hollywood. But you could check out old Jochebed, all right? I just want you to look at her for a few minutes. There's four things about her that I want you to see that I believe you're going to be a godly mother, you have to have. The first thing that we see in Jochebed, she was a mother with courage. Courage. She had the courage to defy that decree of Pharaoh. She said, Pharaoh, I don't care what you say. Doesn't bother me. She knew what was right. Amen. And by the way, she knew Pharaoh was wrong. Oh, hey, it's wrong to kill them kiddos after they're born.
Yes, sir.
It's wrong. Can I say this to you while we're here? It's wrong to kill them before they're born, too. Yes, it's just dead wrong to do that, all right? But what if, no, it's just wrong to kill that unborn baby, all right? Just wrong to do it, you know. And I'll say this to you moms today. You might say, well, preacher, we don't have to worry about having the situation that Jochebed had here with Moses. We don't have to worry about defying the authorities. In days gone by, I might have agreed with you. But in this day, I don't necessarily agree with you, all right? Hey, you might possibly have to defy the authorities if you're going to do right by your children. If you're going to do right by your kiddos, you may have to defy the authorities. Let me just throw one thing out there. We live in a world today that really frowns on spanking children. Oh, that's abuse. That's physical abuse. Can I say this to you? I was a kid once. I was a kid once. I had a dad and a mom that believed in spanking.
Amen.
They believed in spanking. I'm kind of like the fellow that said they didn't believe in spanking. They believed in whooping, all right? And I'd get a whipping, all right? I did that. You said, well, what do you think about it? I didn't get as many as I needed.
Amen.
I didn't get as many as I deserved.
Amen.
But I'm going to tell you this. I thank God for the ones I got. Now, I didn't feel that way while I was going through it. All right, I was a kid. I wasn't glad. I never thought, hot dog, I'm going to get a spanking. I mean, there were some times, I don't know what your parents were like, but there were some times that my dad or my mom would say, when you get home, you're going to get a spanking. And I always said, could we prolong the trip, please? You know, go see somebody else. And, you know, you'd always pray they'll forget. They never did. They never did. Never happened. Never happened. Hey, can I say this? I'm thankful for a mom. I'm thankful for a mom that didn't say, wait till dad gets home. You didn't have to wait. Mom took care of it. Mom took care of it. She did. I'm glad she did. Hey, you may have to have some courage in our day to raise your children right, okay? Now, the thing that amazes me, we've got plenty that'll riot and destroy for all the wrong reasons, but we've got very few that have the courage to do what's right for the right reason. What a mess we live in. Man, I'm glad Jochebed's mom had some courage. She was willing to defy the authorities. It takes courage to do that. It takes courage. I can remember hearing parents say, well, my child is too big for me to spank. I never got too big for mom to spank. Never got too big. He said, well, you could have overpowered her. Maybe. But can I say this to you, Mom? Really, this is not the way I intended to preach, but since I'm here, Mom, can I say this to you? If you've got young children, if you do the job you should when they're young, when they're older, if you need to do something, if you need to spank them, they'll let you do it. My dad died when he was 83. He had just turned 83 years old. I was, how old was I? I was in my 50s. I'll tell you this, if my dad would have said, son, I'm going to whip you.
Yes, sir.
You said, what would you have done? I'd let him do it.
Amen.
I'd let him do it. Why? Because Mom and Dad instilled in me that respect.
Yes, sir.
I would have let my mom. Mom was 91 when she died. I want to tell you something. There was a few instances before her death I wanted to whip her. There were some things that went on. I thought, Mom, what is wrong with you? And you said, what were they? I'm not going into it now. But I'm going to tell you this, if at 90 or 91 years old, she'd have said, son, I'm going to spank you. I'd have said, go ahead, Mom. Go ahead. Go ahead. Why? Because she raised me that way. If you have the courage. Now, some of you sitting here, you're saying, I don't have any children. I'm not even married. You may have some in the future. You may never get married, but you need some courage to live a Christian life today.
Amen.
You need some courage.
Yes, sir.
Oh, I hope you'll develop it. She had it. But not only did she have courage, but she was a mom with courage, but she was a mother also with great faith. Great faith. Do you have any idea how much faith it would take for a mom to put her little 3-month-old son into an ark of bulrushes and put it out in a river? Now, in case you're not aware of it, that river was infested with crocodiles. With crocodiles, all right? It was just that way, all right? Now, I want you to notice, first of all, though, she did everything she could do. Everything she could do. For 3 months, she did everything she could do. But it got to a point where she just said, okay, I'm going to trust God. I'm going to trust God. I'll say this to moms, to dads, to every one of you. You ought to do everything you can do, but you trust God. When you can no longer do it, you trust God. You put your faith, your trust in Him. I don't believe it was desperation that drove Jochebed to make that ark of bulrushes and put little Moses in there. No, it wasn't desperation that drove her to place her son in such a precarious position. No, it was trust in God. She said, I'm going to trust Him to care for my son. I'm going to trust Him to do what I can't do. Well, that's where we ought to live as Christians. I'll do everything I can, but I'm going to trust Him to do what I can't do.
Amen.
Hey, by the way, He's not going to do what you can do.
Right.
He's not going to do what you can do. You say, well, I'm praying God will send me some money. Well, how about getting a job?
Amen.
Just get a job, all right? Go for it. Don't sit and expect God to do what you can do. But once you do what you can do, you ought to trust God, all right? Why? Because remember this, faith without works is dead, according to the book of James. We've got to put that work into it. We're to have that faith, but without that work, our faith is dead. We do all that we can do. Jochebed did everything she could do, but then she trusted God to take care of her son. She put him out there and let him do it. Hey, you know what? That trust in God, it was rewarded. It was rewarded. Only God could have worked it out where Jochebed would get paid for nursing her own baby.
Amen.
Who's supposed to have been put to death?
Right.
Only God could work that out.
Yes,
why? God always rewards true faith. God always rewards it. If you'll step out by faith and trust God and do what God says, He'll reward you. I mean, He'll see to it that you're rewarded for that faith. Thank God, Moses' mom, she not only had courage, but she had some faith. Faith to trust God when she knew, I've done all I can do. I will trust the Lord. But wait a minute, there was something else she had. She had wisdom. Wisdom. I don't believe anything happened in here was accidental. Don't believe anything happened. Would you still got your Bible open there in Exodus 2? Look down there, all right? The very end of verse 3, she laid it in the flags by the river's bank. In a specific place. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. Now, do you think Mama took her son, put him in that little basket that would now float, set it in a specific place by the river, told her daughter, watch him, because I want to know which crocodile eats him. Keep an eye out.
No.
Now, you believe that?
No.
Oh, that's not why. She, the daughter of Pharaoh comes along in verse 5. To wash herself at the river. And they see that. They see that little ark, all right, and they get it. She opened it. The baby wept, all right? That baby cried. Man, every woman that's got the real true instincts of a mother immediately is moved when a baby cries. Immediately. Us guys go, would you shut that kid up? But mamas don't feel that way, all right? They don't didn't. But then said his sister, you see verse 7? Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter. Why? What motivated her to come up? Just a sudden thought occurred to her? No. I'm convinced as I can be that Jochebed, Moses' mother, said, all right, we've got to do something with Moses. I can't keep him anymore. If I do, I'm going to be found out. So here's what we're going to do. She used wisdom that she had, all right? Used wisdom she had. She knew, I believe with all my heart, she knew Pharaoh's daughter came there to wash. So she took that little baby, put it right there close to the bank of the river so it wouldn't be missed. She didn't put it far out so the current would take the child away. She put it right there. By the way, I believe she knew when that Pharaoh's daughter was coming. And it was no accident. She picked that place. She planned it out. She put it there. And she entrusted to it. She prayed to God. Now, Lord, it's in your hands. I've done all I can do. And I've used all the wisdom that you've given me. And I brought him here. And I'm going to leave my daughter right there. And she told her daughter, as soon as that thing is open, you zip up there and say, I know somebody can take care of him. So she leaves that daughter there. And it happened just that way. Heard a preacher say one time when they opened that basket to look inside, God pinched Moses so he'd cry. I don't know if that happened or not, all right? But I do know that baby cried. Hey, Moses' mom had some wisdom. She exercised some wisdom. She did what she could. Then she had faith to believe God would work the rest on her behalf, but she used the wisdom that God had given her to put him in a place where he'd be found by somebody that could take care of him and would take care of him, somebody that wouldn't say, this is one of them Hebrew boys, kill him. Take him out of the basket, fling him out into the river. Didn't happen. Why? Part of the reason is because Moses' mom had some wisdom. Wisdom. Hey, ladies, if there's one thing you need to have as a mom, you need wisdom. You need wisdom. Boy, you need that wisdom to make the decisions you need to make. You need wisdom to decide what's best for my kids. Preacher, my kids are grown. They're out of the house. You need wisdom. You still need wisdom. You need wisdom how to treat them. You know what? There's a good chance they may let you down in the future. So how are you going to handle that? How are you going to handle it? Hey, don't ever come back to my house. I would suggest you not do that. I would suggest you not do that. I would suggest you have the policy, hey, I just want you to know I love you no matter what. I love you. You're my child. You're my son. You're my daughter. I want you to know you always have a place. I love you. I care about you. You need wisdom. You need wisdom. Things happen in life today that you never thought would happen. You need wisdom to deal with it. You said, preacher, where am I going to get it? James chapter 1, verse 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Let him ask of God. Ask God for wisdom. Ask him. I'll tell you this, reading the Bible will give you wisdom. The Bible's filled with wisdom. We talk about the book of Proverbs being a book of wisdom, but I just want you to know the Bible's filled with wisdom. Not just in one book. Read your Bible. Ask God for wisdom. Ask God for wisdom. I'll be honest with you. When I was raising my two kids, I prayed more for wisdom than I ever prayed before or since. Because I needed wisdom. Now, I wasn't sure what to do. I can remember talking to my dad when my kids were young and said, Dad, I'm not sure what to do. He said, you'll be able to figure it out. Thanks, Dad. That was great wisdom. Appreciate it. Hey, but I went to God. Went to God. Ask God for wisdom. Man, you need that wisdom. You need that wisdom. Don't try it on your own. Don't listen to Oprah. Don't listen. She never had any kids. Don't listen to her. Don't listen to Dr. Phil. And I don't know if he's ever had kids or not, all right? I'm saying go to God. Go to God. Get wisdom from him. You're going to need it. You're going to need it. Hey, young person, if anybody needs wisdom, it's you. You need wisdom. You're faced with stuff in this whole world today that I didn't face when I was a kid growing up. When I was a teenager, I didn't face things you face. They weren't there. You need wisdom. You need wisdom. You need to ask God to give it to you. Hey, what a mother she was. She had courage. She had faith. She had wisdom. But then I want you to see something that I believe is easy to overlook. Still have your Bible open there in Exodus 2. Look at verse 11. And it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens, and he spied an Egyptian smiting an Hebrew, one of his brethren, and he looked this way and that way, and he saw that there was no man. He slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. Now, won't you notice there's a big jump in time from verse 10 to verse 11. Verse 10, how old was Moses? 3 months old. 3 months old. Verse 11, he's 40. He's about 40 years old. Big jump in time. Now, won't you notice, here he is. He dressed like an Egyptian. He walked like an Egyptian. He talked like an Egyptian. He acted like an Egyptian. He had been raised in Pharaoh's house. He was the epitome, you might say, of an Egyptian. But in the heart of Moses burned the heart of a Hebrew. A Hebrew. Now, how did that happen? Accidentally? Nope. I don't believe it. I believe it happened because of his mama. Humanly speaking, I believe it was because of her. Because she nursed him, but not only did she nurse him, she nurtured him.
Amen.
She nurtured him.
Amen.
I just want to tell you so. I think we've lost the ability to do that in our day.
Amen.
We've quit doing that, you know. But I believe Jochebed taught her son who he was. What he was, she taught by example. She taught by word. She gave it to him, all right? Gave it to him. Put the truth in him of who he was. And I believe she taught him. Now listen, when you nursed a child in those days, it wasn't for 3 months. It wasn't for 6 months. It was in a couple of 3 years. And she took care of that little rascal. Hey, those little kids soak it up.
Amen.
They soak it up. That's why you got a little kid, you glue them in front of a TV screen, and they'll come out singing the songs they hear on television.
Amen.
You put them there. They soak up learning. I try to tell parents all the time, you got a young child, get them in Sunday school. Get them in Sunday school. Oh, they're so young. Start teaching them. Hey, in our nursery, when the kids are little and they get big enough, they can sit in a chair, our nursery workers start working with them. They start singing the little songs with them. You know, they start singing with them, getting them to sing along, start teaching them. At 2 years old, they're in a Sunday school class. Why? They need to be taught. They soak it up, soak it up. And I believe that Moses' mother put into him everything she could. So here he is, as the Bible says in Hebrews, he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God. He made that choice. Why? Mama put it in him. Mama put it in him. She taught him that, all right? One of the greatest shortcomings I'm afraid of in parents today is the teaching and training that is their responsibility. We hand them off to somebody else. We hand them off to somebody else. We've given them to the babysitter, the daycare, the school, the television. Nowadays, the phone screen. I'm amazed. You go somewhere nowadays and a little child gets fussy, maybe 5-year-old child, and immediately, all right, and they're digging in the purse. Out comes a phone. And, they're... Good lands. We've not taught them. We've not trained them. No wonder they don't choose the people of God. No wonder they don't know how to act. They've not been taught. They've not been taught. Man, it's necessary to teach them. It's necessary to train them.
Right.
Now, you kiddos that are in here, you're still in training.
Amen.
You're still in training. We've got some teenage girls in here. You're still in training.
Amen.
I don't want you to think, I'm done. No, you're still in training.
Right.
Back there in the back, on the back row, is the latest addition, And one of the families in our church, they brought that little one here last Sunday.
Right.
Hey, their job's train that one.
Amen.
Train that one. Well, man, how old is she now? 3 weeks, 4 weeks, a month?
Oh. She's
about
1 month.
Come on, Mom, you don't even know how old your youngin' is, all right? Okay, about to be a month old, okay? It seems like an eternity now already, right? She's about to be a month old. They're to be training that child. You say, preacher, you can't train them. What in the world you mean you can't train them?
Right.
How many have ever heard them? Somebody say, well, they got their days and nights mixed up.
Yeah.
That's because we didn't train them.
Amen.
You train them, it's time to sleep. You go to sleep. Now, I'm going to tell you, the best person I've ever seen do that is not my wife. It's my daughter. My daughter, it amazed me. I go visit, she'd tell the little big kids, all right, it's time to go to bed, let's go. Put them in bed, and shut the door.
Wow.
I'm waiting for the eruption.
Yeah.
Didn't happen.
Amen.
Didn't happen. I'm baffled. I've never known anybody. Now, my wife did a good job, but my daughter beats the fire out of them, all right? I mean, she doesn't beat the fire out of her kids, all right? I need to be careful how I say that, all right? But she taught them. She did, and now they're in, and there's two of them in the room together. Takes them back there. There's your bed. Go to bed. Go to sleep. See you in the morning. Now they pray with them and all of that kind of thing. But it's time to go to bed. Go to bed. So how do they do it? I don't know. Talk to her, okay? But you train them. You teach them. You teach them. Teach them how to act. Man, My brother and I, we grew up, we knew there's things we didn't do in public. We didn't do it. My kids, I taught them things you don't do, you don't do. They never threw a fit in public. Just didn't. So why not? Because we wouldn't let them throw one at home in private. Teach them, you train them, all right? I believe Jochebed put it into Moses to this extent that, boy, when he grew up, he knew what side to be on. He knew what side to be on. Listen, you ought to take advantage of every opportunity you get to teach and train your children. You got grown kids, they still need teaching and training. Now, it's more of a challenge when they're grown. Because they're honoring. They're stubborn. Boy, I'm on my own now. You can't tell me anything. Okay. You still, you have to work at it a little harder. And they still need it. They still need some help, okay? Still need some help. Now, you got to have wisdom, though, to do it. I told both of my kids when they got married, I said, I'm going to do my best to stay out of your business. They don't need me in every decision they make. They don't need me telling them what to do every step of the way. They got to get out there and do it themselves. But I did tell them this. If I think you're about to make a big mistake, I will say something to you. I'll say something to you. Because I don't want you to make a big mistake. Little mistakes are all right. They learn from them. That's okay. But you still teach and train. Hey, there's grandparents in here. You got grandkids? Please don't have the opinion, oh boy, I can spoil them and send them home. What in God's name's wrong with you? Who likes spoiled kids? I don't like them. I don't want spoiled kids. I don't want spoiled grandkids. They may have to stay with me an extended time. I don't want spoiled kids. I don't like spoiled kids. I've told my kids before when they were at home and we had some kids, one time they were over for a little bit, and I told them when those kids left, I said, if your kids act like that, they ain't going to like being at Grandpa's house. He said, preacher, how can you be that way? I don't want my grandkids spoiled either. Amen. What's wrong with us, all right? What's wrong with us? Teach them. Train them. Hey, if you don't get an opportunity, then create the opportunity. Now, it doesn't have to be a session. All right, sit down. We're going to have some training today. Now, you can do some of that, I guess. But, man, I'm just talking about everyday opportunities show up. Point it out. Take the advantage. Train them. Talk to them about it. Hey, you see that fellow, that drunken bum on the side of the road there, bleary-eyed? Everything with the clutching that little bag with that bottle inside it. Talk to your kids about him. Yes, talk to your kids. You said, preacher, you want me to run that guy down? No, I want you to say, you don't have to turn out like that.
Exactly.
You don't have to turn out like that. Just, you don't have to do that. No reason for it. Just use it as a chance to train and to teach. Tell them, hey, that doesn't happen accidentally. Those people made some real bad choices.
Amen.
Chain them. Teach them. Hey, teach them to come to church.
Amen.
Teach them to come. You say, how am I going to do that? By you coming.
Yes,
you bring them.
Yes,
you bring them. You say, preacher, they're out of my house. Yeah, but you ought to let them know it's still important for you to be in church.
Sure.
Let them know, hey, I'd still like for you to come with me.
Yes.
You ought to be there. They need it. It's good for them, good for you, all the way. Hey, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying Jochebed's a wonderful model for us. She had some courage. She had some courage. She had great faith. God had given her some wisdom. She exercised that wisdom. During that time that was given to her, where she was paid to raise her own son, she put something into him he never forgot. She labored at it. Well, can I say this to you, Mom? If you're not what you ought to be, there's room at the altar for you to start going in the right direction. If there's just a few things need to be corrected, maybe you need God's help. Maybe you ought to come. Son or daughter, you're here this morning. You had a mom. Maybe he tried to teach you. And you turned from it because you thought, I know better. Can I say this to you? There's a spot for you here too. There's a spot for you here too. Come to the Lord. Maybe you're one that would say, "Preacher, I didn't have anything close to a godly mother. Maybe she was a drunk. Maybe she was a dope addict. I don't know what all could have been. I just didn't have anything close to that." Well, then what you need to do is come to the Father today and find your help that you need. You need that. Don't grow up in life in bitterness and hatred. Don't let that happen to you. Hey, listen, there's a God in heaven that cares about you. Where you are today, He cares about you. How you live, how you turn out, your choice. Your choice. Don't blame your mom. Don't blame your dad. Don't blame God. You made the choice. You made the choice. But you got a chance to do right. You got a chance. Hey, I'm not looking at a bunch of people that I think you've made a mess of your life. Now get it straight. I'm looking at people that are just like me. You've made some mistakes down the way. Maybe you need some help this morning. Then you ought to come to God and ask for it. Ask for it. Maybe there's some things you're not doing that you ought to be doing. Why don't you decide today, I'm going to start doing that. You come and you promise God, "Lord, I'm going to do what I should. I'm going to do what I should as a mom. I'm going to do what I should as a dad. I'm going to do what I should as a son. I'm going to do what I should as a daughter. I'm going to live the way I should." Hey, it's your choice today. What will you do about it? Would you stand, please, with every head bowed and every eye closed? Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning because we need to hear from you. Lord, I pray that you've dealt with hearts this morning. And Lord, that we'd realize and recognize what's needed in our life. Lord, folks made some mistakes, maybe. Lord, would you help them to come? And Lord, get those things right, change it, not keep making the same mistake. Lord, some that are on the verge have the opportunity to do great things. Maybe some raising some children. Lord, would you help them? Would you give them wisdom? Lord, there's some that are going to be doing so in the years ahead. Would you help them today to begin to seek the wisdom they need? Lord, give us the courage that we need to act.